The gospel reading our Lord tells us that the one who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is the one who humbles himself to be like a little child. As we celebrate this feast day in honor of Saint Therese, of the child Jesus, and of the Holy Face, we have to recognize that certainly the childlikeness of Saint Therese, but what it was that she was focused on. It was our Lord as a child. To be able to consider that Almighty God became a little baby and a small child as he grew up. If this is not beneath God's dignity, it certainly should not be beneath ours. And we look at it and say, well, yeah, but I mean, I was a child at one time and now I've grown up. God didn't need to be a child. He chose to be a child. And he chose to be a child because God is perfectly simple. Perfectly simple. Children are simple. So we look at somebody like Saint Therese. You see the simplicity that is there, because she strove to be like Jesus. Certainly in his childlike love and humility, but also we recognize that latter part of her name, which almost everybody forgets, of the Holy Face of Jesus. She strove to be like Jesus in his passion, looking at the Holy Face in all of the suffering. And what we see in that is the exact same mystery, the charity and the humility of Jesus, being childlike, being pure love, being pure simplicity. It is in that vein that he accepted his sufferings and offered them for us. And we look at Saint Therese, and again, people like to think of her as cute and all this kind of stuff. Well, on the physical level, I suppose she's a cute young woman, but that's not what they mean. There's nothing cute about what she was about. Read her oblation to Merciful Love. There's nothing cute. It is a total sacrifice, total immolation, holocaust of herself to God for souls. That's what she was all about. It was just pure charity. And that's what we have to learn. We learn that ultimately from the pure charity of our Blessed Lord. You think about Therese and just the selflessness. Obviously, there was a deeper conversion because she herself will tell us when she was young. Now, it's all relative. She died when she was 24. So again, prior to 15, she'll tell you what a baby she was. She'll tell you how selfish she was. And then Our Lady worked a miracle for her, and everything turned in an instant, and she became selfless. Even to the point of when we talk about heaven, we talk about looking right into the face of God, into the very essence of God. We talk about being united with God and all that, and all that's all true. And it would be so easy for us in that way to be caught up and like, wow, won't this be wonderful? Look what I will get to do if I get to heaven. What does Therese say? I'm going to spend my heaven doing good on earth. In other words, she took love of God and love of neighbor, and she's saying, that's not going to end when I get to heaven. Because she's going to continue to love. She's going to love God with her whole heart and soul and strength the way she strove to do so in this life. And she's going to continue to love us the way she strove to do so in this life. Because what she was concerned about was souls. It's why she is the patroness of the missions, which if you look at it on the natural level makes absolutely no sense because she was in a monastery. She never did 1 ounce of missionary work. But she was so intent on praying for the missionaries and so concerned about the souls that would be lost if they didn't come to the Lord, that's why she's the patroness of the missions. So a heart that was filled with love. And she even recognized that. She talks about it in her autobiography. She was reading St. Paul in 1 Corinthians. St. Paul talks about all the different parts in the body and so on, and said, I didn't find myself in any of the things that he talked about. But she said, I kept reading. And she said, St. Paul said, I'll show you a way that's greater than all the others. And that is charity. And she said, I found my vocation. I found who I am. I am to be the heart in the church. Because all the other things, all the other parts of the body, if it's not for the heart pumping the blood, and in this case, the heart pumping the love to all of those other parts, they will die. They can't function the way that they're supposed to. They're all dependent upon the heart. And so that's where she saw her vocation, to be able to bring the love of God to everyone else so that everyone else can do what the love of God is calling them to do. So all of us are called to love. Now, when you look at St. Paul's description of the mystical body, you may find yourself in one of those other positions, and that's perfectly fine. But you can't do the work that God is calling you to do without the charity, because that's the essence of it all. And yet at the same time, if God is calling you to that kind of charity, to be the heart in the mystical body of Christ, then you need to go deep in prayer, because that's what he's asking of you. And right now, that is more important than it has ever been in the history of the church. We need that love. I think, quite honestly, if we look at the large picture of things, I have a friend who likes to point this out, it is the African people in a particular way, in general, who are the heart in the church. The love that they have is immense. But it's not just the people of Africa. Obviously, there are many of us, and there are people from Africa that are going to be the other parts of the body as well. But in a particular way, they seem to occupy the heart. But what is God calling you to in specific? What is he asking of you? He's asking you to love, well, he's asking all of us to love, but if he's asking you to be the love in the church, in the mystical body, then you have an example in St. Therese. And she's looking to Jesus, which is exactly what St. Paul did when he said, be imitators of me as I'm imitator of Christ. So it's looking to Jesus, looking to his love. His love is right there on the cross. And his love is directly underneath it in the Blessed Sacrament. If you're being called to be the heart in the church, that's what you're being called to. Not, isn't that cute? She's the little flower. Yeah. She is united with Jesus in his suffering. There is nothing cute about it. It is just pure charity. And to think that this young woman was able to perfect that by the time she was 24 years old. I look at that and think, how pathetic am I? Three times that age at this point, and I still don't have it even close. But she was able to do it. Because she understood she was to be conformed to love himself. So are we. It's all a question of the heart. She understood with her mind. That's not where it was. It was about the heart. Because that's what conversion has to be about. We have to be about converting people's hearts before we convert their minds. They have to know that they're loved. In a world that is devoid of love, we must be that love. And in that way, the one that she looked to on the practical level, St. John of the Cross, as the one who was her mentor, he said, where there is not love, put love, and there will be love. Bring the love of Jesus into everything. Bring him everywhere. In a world that doesn't know the love of the Lord, you can be the love of the Lord. If a young woman in a monastery in France can become the patroness of the missions, there is no reason in the world why you can't become the love of Christ in the world. It seems unlikely, doesn't it? Well, so does a contemplative cloistered nun being the patroness of the missions seem pretty unlikely. God can do amazing things. He didn't put you in a monastery. He didn't call you to a cloister, which means he's calling you to be able to function in the world. Look at the mystical body. Find your place in that mystical body. For all of us, it is to love. And for those called especially to be the heart in the church, bring the love of Jesus into the world so that the rest of the mystical body can operate the way it's supposed to, so that souls can know the love of God, be converted, and be saved.